This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, December 23rd. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. A historic building in Ridgeway was gutted by fire last week. As the Ure Plain Dealer reports, the 113-year-old bank building housed the Vault Vintage Shop, who moved in just 2 weeks ago. Ridgeway firefighters responded to the scene, assisted by five area agencies. The cause of the fire appears to be a gas heater or a wood stove, but is still under investigation. Daily flights from Montrose to Denver and Dallas started last weekend. The Colorado Flight Alliance, which is a partnership between area businesses and the Montrose Airport, plans on offering the consumer-friendly flights from Southwest Airlines throughout the ski season. A popular green waste program in Montrose has been suspended. Public Information Officer William Woody told the Montrose Press residents have been abusing the program and bringing contaminated loads instead of clean branches and leaves. The city cannot afford to sort and transport the trash. The West Elk coal mine in the North Fork Valley faces a proposed $3,500 fine, reports Dennis Webb in the Grand Junction Sentinel. The penalty is for an October incident in which an underground mine roof collapsed and created a hole at the surface that resulted in a creek draining into the mine for a short time. The hole has now been plugged and the creek will be restored. Regulators said the problem resulted from Mountain Coal's negligence and lack of reasonable care. Mountain Coal has asked that the violation notice be vacated. 10 bison are now home on the range in southeastern Colorado, reports CPR. They're part of CSU's research herd of genetically pure American bison. 30 million bison once roamed North America and were hunted nearly to extinction more than a century ago. The 10 transferred bison are now on the 2,500-acre Heartland Ranch Nature Preserve in Bent County. They'll be kept separate from another bison herd at the refuge, which contains genes from domestic cattle. The Bison Project is a joint effort by Southern Plains Land Trust, CSU, and Defenders of Wildlife. A Colorado Court of Appeals has thrown out a drug case because the drug-sniffing dog alert was not sufficient grounds to search the vehicle. Since 2012, it is not illegal to possess less than an ounce of marijuana, but police dogs cannot distinguish between cannabis and other drugs. According to the Grand Junction Sentinel, resident Arlene Coglietti had her drug conviction thrown out and a new trial ordered because police illegally searched her vehicle. Governor Jared Polis is praising Congress for passing a $900 billion coronavirus relief package. KVNF's capital coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Polis says the most important piece of the relief package is money to help distribute the vaccine. States are expecting to get almost $9 billion for that effort. But the latest round does not include direct aid to help state and local governments balance their budgets.
Of course, there's many people, myself included, that would like more help here, more help there. But overall, this is a good package.
The stimulus deal also includes money for more virus testing, as well as $600 stimulus checks, which Coloradans should start seeing next week. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
The Colorado River and its tributaries irrigate some of the country's most productive farmland. But agriculture in the arid region is made more difficult by its salty soil and old-school irrigation methods that send harmful minerals into streams. KVNF's Jody Peterson has more on a program that's helping upstream farmers use water more efficiently to help keep downstream growers in business.
A.J. Carrillo farms 18 acres outside of Hotchkiss, Colorado, where fruit orchards dot high desert mesas and jagged peaks line the horizon. When he irrigates his peach crop, water gushes from big white plastic pipes at the top of the plot and takes half a day to trickle down to the other end of his five-acre orchard.
We're on 18 acres here. We have a half-acre market garden. We have a small grass alfalfa.
This is called flood irrigation, and while it works great to get water to fruit trees quickly, it comes with some downsides.
One of the big concerns that we have in the North Fork Valley is that our irrigation leads to deep percolation.
And that deep percolation dissolves the salt and selenium that occur naturally in soils here. The minerals are harmful to both fish and humans. The excess water runs off farm fields like Carrillo's into ditches that eventually dump into the Gunnison River, a tributary of the Colorado. Farms in just this one river basin send more than 360,000 tons of salt into the Colorado River each year.
And so we have a serious ecological issue going on here.
Selenium is known to have an impact on fish breeding, such that the offspring end up with deformities and other problems.
That's Perry Cabot, a water resources specialist with Colorado State University. He says salt creates problems too. It must be removed before water can be used for drinking or industrial purposes, which is expensive. Cabot says salty irrigation water can stunt crop growth and eventually make farmland unusable.
If you continue to sort of leach these salts out of the upper systems of a river, you concentrate them further and further. So it's just this kind of creeping soil killer as it makes its way downstream.
During the 1960s, so much salt flowed into the Colorado River from U.S. farms that Mexico, at the downstream end, could no longer use it for irrigation. A solution was finally negotiated in the 1970s, requiring major reductions in the river's saltiness. But it's an ongoing issue. Other laws have since been passed, and federal programs have been created that give farmers incentive to reduce salty runoff from their fields. Casey Harrison is a soil conservationist with the Federal Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS.
We have the ability through federal funds to help farmers and ranchers improve their irrigation water delivery systems so that we can actually combat some of those problems with selenium and salinity in the Colorado River Basin.
That federal financial support is key. The costs of installing new irrigation systems can't be borne by farmers alone. Annually, the NRCS spends about $7 million, helping roughly 75 Gunnison Basin producers cover the cost of converting to more efficient irrigation. Farmers pay part of the cost, too, and benefit from greater control over water usage, higher crop yields, and less labor. Again, Colorado State University's Perry Cabot.
But if we as a society value food production as a part of our economic infrastructure, it's unrealistic to expect them to just bear the burden without societal help.
Back in farmer A.J. Carrillo's peach orchards, change is coming. His Deer Tree Farm will have a new, more efficient irrigation system by fall 2021, paid for in part by the NRCS. His switch to micro-sprinklers will mean much more efficient water use and healthier soil.
That irrigation system will effectively double our water supply here on this farm. A total game changer, in my opinion.
Even though Carrillo's farm is small, the switch also means less salt and selenium ending up in the Colorado River. And if enough of his neighbors make the same change, it could mean fewer problems for the millions of people downstream who depend on it. I'm Jody Peterson in Paonia, Colorado.
That does it for KVNF's regional newscast. Special thanks to KVNF news reporter Kate Redman and news editor Jody Peterson. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.